Where is Jesus? A few years ago, Laura and Joshua, who was here earlier, and Rachel, who's at her in-laws today, and I took our last family trip, the four of us, to Universal Studios in Florida. It was a great trip, a lot of fun. Although I did manage to get quite nauseous on the Harry Potter ride at Universal Studios. I don't know if any of you have been to Universal Studios, but there's a restaurant in that park called Bubba's Shrimp House. And the name, of course, comes from that famous movie, Forrest Gump, when Forrest meets Bubba, who just tells him over and over again the different ways you can cook shrimp. In the restaurant in Florida, we had to eat there, they had a young woman who was going about in the restaurant giving out prizes to people who could answer trivia questions about the movie. Little did she realize that Forrest Gump is Joshua's favorite movie of all time. He can quote all kinds of lines from it. The late young lady dropped a question on us that, to me, seemed very difficult to answer, but without missing a heartbeat, Joshua gave the correct answer and he won a prize. I understand why Josh likes this movie so much. There's a great deal in it to commend it to us. There's the themes of love and loyalty and just the joy of watching Gump go from one incredible adventure to another. Many of us in this room can quote at least one line from that film. Mama says, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. I should have maybe had Josh stay a little longer. He couldn't stay this morning, so he could actually get up and imitate Forrest Gump for you. You know, he often does. There's a funny part in that Oscar-winning film where Gump, upset that his beloved Jenny has left him once again, sets off running. Do you remember that? He runs across the county, the state, and eventually he runs clear across the country. He sleeps when he is tired, he eats when he is hungry, but generally he just runs. Over time, people see him running and start getting interested in him, and they ask the question, why is he running? As he reaches the one coast, he turns around and crosses the country again. People ask him, why are you running? But he doesn't really know, other than he just likes to run. On about his fourth crossing of the country, this is the U.S., by the way, followed by quite a huge crowd, he suddenly just stops in the middle of nowhere. And when asked why he stops, he simply states, I am tired. Then without a second thought, he makes his way home. So what was the point of all that running? The reality is there was no point at all, other than it helped him cope with his grief over losing Jenny. As I read the gospel lesson to you, did you notice how much running there is in this gospel lesson? Running in the midst of this grief? It's an extraordinary and exhausting text to read. Everybody in this passage seems to be running somewhere. You know, it's an odd thing because elsewhere in the Bible, there's not a whole lot of running mentioned in the scriptures. But here, it's everywhere. Why on earth is everybody running around? Why on earth is everybody running around in the most unlikely of places? A cemetery. Now, as a pastor, you probably realize I've been in a lot of cemeteries over the years. In fact, I actually worked in a cemetery when I was a student at seminary one summer. And except for the odd jogger that would go through the cemetery where I worked, I rarely see anybody running around. In cemeteries, have you noticed? We walk quietly. We walk slowly. Yeah, and probably walk with a bit of apprehension. But in this text, everybody's running around. Running is not a foreign concept to us. I get that. I don't know about you, but I see people running all the time. Just about every morning on my way to the church here, I see someone in a jogging suit, often with eye buds. Is that what they're called? In their ears. But I look at them and I look at them very carefully and they don't look very happy. But they run anyway. I've seen busy people run around their offices, and I've done it myself, like our pants are on fire, and I think they must be very busy, or trying to look busy. I've been to Pearson Airport to pick people up or drop people off, and I've seen people trying to make a connection between gate 1 and gate 60 with what seems to be the speed of Donovan Bailey. They are just moving. I've seen parents running from work to school, to soccer practice, and then maybe to some church event as well. And like Forrest Gump, I wonder, why are they running? I'm not sure most of those who are I see running know why they're running. But it seems imperative that they pick up their heels and they make tracks. The one thing I don't happen to see very much is people running for the sheer joy of it. No one seems to enjoy the speed which they are expending to get to what is most important at that moment. We have an expression, actually, it comes from a story, chasing the white rabbit. It comes from the book Alice in Wonderland. It refers to the white rabbit who's constantly consulting his watch, all the while shouting what? I'm late. So very late. And Alice wonders to herself, late for what? She follows the rabbit down the hole. Chasing the white rabbit indicates that we are chasing something without even knowing why. And again, it seems that nobody enjoys the running they do, even if they think it's important. Except children. You notice this? If you take a group of children and take them into that gym right over there and you let them loose, they'll run. Not because they're being chased, although they will giggle with glee if you do offer to chase them around. They enjoy running not because they're overcommitted or because they're trying to get their heart rate up and their waistline down. They run because it's fun to run. They feel empowered somehow the faster they go. It is that childlike spirit of running that seems to pervade the Easter story. The running we read about has a light-footed feel about it. Feet that were wounded by the horror of the crucifixion, by the rot with that crushing grief, are somehow now picking up speed. Mary, who had witnessed firsthand the crucifixion, I'm sure her mind was flooded with questions about why this happened to Jesus, someone that she loved dearly, someone who was clearly non-threatening to everybody. How could such a miscarriage of justice be carried out on someone who was clearly in touch with God? Someone who could perform miracles like exorcisms and healings and even raising people from the dead. Mary Magdalene was believed to be someone Jesus delivered from demons, although that's now questioned a lot. But she adored Jesus very much. Her world had been turned upside down by the crucifixion. So she comes early in the morning to the tomb. She's not running at this point. After all, the dead aren't going anywhere. She comes to pay her respects, maybe to come and grieve and to remember. But upon arrival, she sees that the tomb is empty. And suddenly her pace quickens as she runs to report this to the disciples. And Peter and John then join the race. They run back to the tomb, not sure what has happened. Where is Jesus? Looking into the empty tomb, Peter, he can't make sense of it. John is said to have gone in and looked and believed. Later on, we read that Mary encounters the risen Jesus, and she runs and she declares to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. What makes you run? What gets your feet going? Does joy feed your need for speed? Or does obligation? You know, I'm sure you've noticed that our world seems to be getting faster and faster. We were promised that as technology advanced and society developed, we would have more leisure, more time to just enjoy life, but it seems like it's getting worse. 40-hour weeks are now 50 or more. You know that as a society, we have fewer children, but it seems like we're expending enough energy to care for 10 kids. We have, I don't even know if they still have them. We have our Blackberries. Do they still have those? Cell phones, portable computers, and we all complain we still haven't got enough time and we are exhausted. Can we be honest that we're running, you and I? But we're not moving with much joy. Let me suggest for your consideration that we make a serious effort to examine our reason for rushing through life. Why do we work and play and socialize at breakneck speed? Can it be that we think that the more we do, the more value our lives have? It is a serious danger to our souls to fall into the trap of thinking that our worth, our purpose, maybe even our salvation is somehow tied to being busy. Consider how fearful we are that people will find out that we're not busy at all. You know, in several companies and businesses, there are people who work there who are basically doing what we call busy work. They're trying to look indispensable so that they won't be seen as redundant and get laid off. Could it be that we have come to hope more in our own abilities and the capturing of more opportunities than we do the hope that made Peter, John, and Mary run through a cemetery? You know, I'm mindful of a story, I've maybe told it to you, about a woman who was doing her last minute Christmas shopping in a very crowded mall. We've all had that experience. She was absolutely tired of standing in lines, and she was tired of fighting her way down long aisles through people looking for the gift that had sold out the day before. Her arms were full of bulky packages. When the elevator door opened, it was full. The occupants in the elevator grudgingly tightened ranks to allow a small space for her to get in with her load. As the doors closed, she blurted out, "Whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." A few others nodded their heads and grunted in agreement. Then from somewhere back at the back of the elevator came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, they've already crucified him." Where, my friends, is the joy in our hasty pursuit? Can it be that we are like Mary, so overcome by distractions and the pain of life that we can't even recognize our Lord standing right there in front of us? Can it be that we're so frightened to stop our hectic pace of life that we fail to pause and see the wonder of life? Wherein lies your hope? Is it in something you've created with your own hands? Maybe in your car that drove you here today, or in your television which entertained you? How fast do we have to run through life before it has any significant meaning to us? Maybe we're already running through a cemetery. We are running among monuments to failed human achievement, running among or from buried dreams and dashed hopes. Maybe we are running so hard through life because we hope somehow we're going to catch the sacred in our haste. We'll catch that one thing or that one person that means so much more than what we currently possess. Let me say again, maybe we are running hard, so hard through life because we hope that somehow we'll catch the sacred or eternal. Today of all days is the day that the world must stop its hasty race to nothing and start to quicken its pace to the one source of hope that we all can cling to. Easter is a day to remember and to celebrate the powers of that the powers of this world, whether they be political, religious, economic, social, or psychological, they don't have the last say in our lives. That even in this very place, that cemetery in John chapter 20, that screams of despair and loss, there is reason to run for joy. How long has it been since we felt breathless and trying to tell the world, I have seen the Lord? It was back in 1912 that a music producer, Dr. Abram Geibel, asked C. Austin Miles to write a hymn that would be sympathetic in tone and breathlessly tender in every line. One that would bring hope to the hopeless, rest for the weary, especially to those who are on their deathbeds. Does that not sound like what our busy lives and busy hearts are crying out for too? Hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary. See Austin Miles, clearly inspired by God, by reading this passage, John 20, this very passage before us today, composed a hymn that is probably only second to the old rugged cross as popular to give us comfort. And I know our modern sensibilities might have difficulty with some of it, but the point is still valid. Austin Miles, in thinking about Mary's two trips to the garden tomb that Easter day, composed the following. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet that birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me. He tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him though the night around me is falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Maybe before we run any further, we need to stop and listen to the voice calling out to us. Maybe before we run with joy, we need to be transformed by the hope that cannot fail us. A hope born out of Christ's resurrection and discovered by those who dared to run towards it. So, are you running toward the hope that we need, or are you chasing white rabbits? Easter offers you a choice. Come. Christ is ready, willing, and more than able to walk with you, talk with you, and tell you, you are his own.